The Word of God for Wednesday of the 34th week of Ordinary Time. The book of Revelations, chapter 15, verses 1 to 4. I, John, saw in heaven another sign, great and awe-inspiring, seven angels with the seven last plagues. For through them God's fury is accomplished. Then I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire. On the sea of glass were standing those who had won the victory over the beast and its image, and the number that signified its name. They were holding God's harps, and they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Great and wonderful are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, or glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. The word of the Lord. Dear family, in this vision, the last seven plagues come forth. Now, there were three previous plagues in the book of Revelation, so that makes a total of 10. St. John is making a parallel with the history of the Old Testament, the 10 plagues. Now, with the new 10 plagues, judgment comes to fulfillment. The fury of God is accomplished. Now, in Scripture, there is a difference between chastisements and God's fury or God's judgment and wrath. Okay? Chastisements are throughout the history of salvation. But when it speaks about wrath or fury or judgment, it's what comes at the very end. So the chastisements are a call to correction. But the judgment of God at the end is no longer a call to correction. It's what happens if the testimony of the saints and the works of God go ignored. The people become obstinate, and then there is no longer a remedy. So judgment comes, and that means the end of history and the damnation of the unjust. Now, the sea of glass mingled with fire. Remember in Genesis, in creation, the Jews in their cosmology saw the sky as the bottom of the floor of heaven. And so it was like a dome, and on top of that dome would be a sea. And so this is a sea of glass. But now the sea of glass is mingled with fire, which signifies judgment upon the ones who have rebelled. And notice that standing on the sea of glass are those who have won the victory over the beast. Remember, in the Old Testament, the Israelites went through the Red Sea. They stood on the bed of the Red Sea. Now the victors are standing over the sea of glass. So this is like a parallel of the history of salvation with Moses. And those who are with the beast, with the image of the beast, or also it says the number that signifies his name, that's the 666. In other words, those who bought into the system of the beast, they are now vanquished and judgment comes upon them. Now the victorious are singing with harps. It's the liturgical instrument in the temple. They are singing the song of Moses and of the Lamb. Again, the parallel, Old and New Testament, and the song of the Lamb, because it is the Lamb who brought about the victory, and all those that are martyrs and saints are participating in it. Now, the rest of the account of Revelations today is the song of praise that is sung already by the victors. Now, it's important for us to appreciate this, that in heaven, everyone is praising God. And those who are in the way of salvation, those who are anointed, who are living in the Spirit, also here on earth are praising God. What does that mean? It means that minds and hearts are so focused on the Lord and so filled with the Holy Spirit that their whole worldview is enlightened by revelation. And so, first and foremost, those who are of the Lord are always praising the Lord. So when you wake in the morning, you praise God. And that means to bring to mind, bring to heart what the Word of God has been teaching you, that intimacy with God. You just proclaim it. And it's important to actually engage our mouth, our whole body. Raise your hands and say, Jesus, I praise you, I thank you, I glorify you. And in this way, God inhabits you and possesses you, and what you're praising becomes stronger in your conviction. And so you have more power in Christ to defeat the lies and the seduction and the ideas that come to you that are against God. The gospel is Luke 21:12-19. Jesus said to the crowd, "They will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons, and they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to your giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." The Gospel of the Lord. We all fear persecution, but having been forewarned by Jesus, we have the assurance that He is with us, that it is not happening out of control, that we can count on Him. The Lord tells us that even among our own, even in the community of believers, that's the synagogue, now the kings and governors, that is the secular world, as well as within your family, your own parents, brothers, relatives, and also your friends. So persecution coming from all sides. And still, we can have the confidence in God. He says, don't prepare your defense beforehand, but be attentive. That does not mean that you live in la-la land. What it does mean is that you're so attentive to the Lord, you've been doing your work every day, listening to Scripture as you're doing right now, being filled with the Word, with the truth, with the light. If that is the case, when the time comes to confront these trials, you don't need to prepare your defense, because the power of the Holy Spirit that is within you, he will be your advocate. And it's not your human reason defending itself. It's going to be the Lord himself, the Holy Spirit. And finally, how does it say that not a hair of your head will be destroyed, if he just said that some of you will be put to death? Well, according to the fathers of the church, what Jesus is saying here is believe in the resurrection, and it's going to be a bodily resurrection. And what is the hair? The hair, it's part of your person, but it's not even an essential part of you. You could cut your hair. So the Lord is saying you're going to be intact, your whole person, body and soul. It's going to be in heaven. Now, how is that body going to be? Well, there's going to be some continuity with the body that we have now, but it's going to be glorified and therefore transformed into a beauty and a perfection that is beyond our imagination. So having been told these things, let us be confident and strong for the times of persecution.